When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my longtime friend and colleague, Craig Unger, the journalist and book writer of revelatory episodes over these last 40 and 50 years to do with the U.S. presidency. For example, Craig's new book is entitled Den of Spies. It is the backstory and forestory of the so-called October surprise of the election of 1980. It saw Ronald Reagan successfully challenge President Jimmy Carter and win the presidency. However, Craig has published over these last years several books that speak to presidential candidacies, and we turn now to continue a narrative that Craig introduced the last time when Donald Trump was making his name in New York as a can-do man, not only to take over hotels that were dilapidated and reviving them with the help of what Craig has identified with sources as a KGB front, providing television sets for the hotel, but also Donald Trump to build the very famous and successful Trump Tower. This is the 1980s. We turn now to all of that payoff because Donald Trump goes to his first trip to Moscow in 1987. He's been to Moscow. He's talked to people about building a Trump Tower in Moscow, and he's come back in July of 1987. At this point, he's thinking about planning to run for the presidency of the United States. Craig, at this point, Trump's idea of running for the presidency, how did he imagine he was going to do that? Was he going to choose a party? Was he going to run as an independent? What preparation had he made? Good evening to you.
Yes. Well, at times he did say he was going to run as an independent, but more frequently it was as a Republican. And in September of 1987, he went up to Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and he gave a rally. And it was very much like the Trump rallies we've seen before his MAGA faithful, in which he was making all sorts of talking points about how our allies were ripping us off. And that had to be stopped. And it's particularly interesting because he had just come out back from Moscow. And my sources in the KGB were telling me how what he was saying were essentially talking points for the KGB wanted to propagate. These were active measures. And he started citing them at these rallies. And most importantly, he took out a full page ad in the New York Times, Washington Post, and the Boston Globe, in which he put them in writing.
Yes, it's Craig has reproduced this letter from the. It's in the New York Times version in his Substack posting for this story about Donald Trump running for the presidency for the first time. In September 1987, the letter is posted, and it reads in part, this will sound familiar, Mr. Trump says, it's time for us to end our vast deficits by making Japan and others who can afford it pay. That's the same playbook we're living out now. Is that correct, Craig?
Absolutely. And it was these were very specific KGB talking points. I had a source named Yuri Schwitz who later defected from the Soviet Union, but he was a major in the KGB during the time period in question. And he told me these were very specific talking points the KGB wanted to propagate in the West.
And Trump ran this ad, and he was in Portsmouth, New Hampshire, talking this ad. Did it encourage people to respond to him at the time? Was there interest in him by the media?
Well, at the time, it was considered just sort of weird and kind of a one-off. He only did this one rally. He withdrew his candidacy. At the time, Bush Sr., George W.H. Bush, was vice president of the United States. Reagan had already served two terms. So Bush was the odds-on favorite to win the Republican nomination, which he did win.
Yes, I reminded myself, however, there were other possibilities. Bob Dole, Pat Robertson, Jack Kemp, Pete DuPont, Alexander Haig, Ben Fernandez, Paul Laxalt, Donald Rumsfeld, and Harold Stassen all are mentioned in the Republican Party nomination episode. Donald Trump, did he initially say he wanted to run as a Republican or a Democrat? Did he choose?
He did choose the Republicans at times. At other times, he said he would run as an independent. And later on, you have the Czech Secret Service, the STB. And remember, Trump's first wife, Ivana, was a Czech national, and the Czechs were keeping an eye on her father. They come from the village known of Zlin, which was sort of the home of the Czech Secret Service. It was the Czechoslovakian equivalent of Langley or Quantico, where the Czech spies trained. And their intelligence showed that Trump had decided he did want to run for president, but he was not going to run until 1996.
I'm looking at the reporting you've done that Donald Trump, the day after the ad ran in 87, he appeared on Larry King Live, which was a very popular CNN show at the time. Every night you'd settle down like you'd light a fire. You'd turn on Larry King, and he would have a colorful guest, and the conversation would be unpredictable. And that night, Donald Trump said on television, "A lot of people are tired of watching other countries ripping off the United States. This is a great country. They laugh at us behind our backs." I believe I've heard those same things at Donald Trump rallies.
He's consistent. He's been saying the same thing that's nearly 40 years ago, 38 years ago.
And this idea of challenging them, did you find in the literature that the outside eyes such as the KGB were recommending using tariffs and trade war? Is that in the notes?
Not necessarily tariffs, but the KGB was clearly thrilled with the ad he took out and the sentiments he were broadcasting. And I mentioned a minute ago that I have a source named Yuri Schwitz, who was a major in the KGB. He was back outside Moscow at KGB headquarters in Yasenevo, and the First Directorate issued a cable that in which they were sort of chortling about their success, that they'd finally recruited an American spy who was putting forth all their favorite talking points, and they attached to the cable the ad that we've been reading from.
Now, was Trump in any fashion aware that he was getting editorial contributions from the KGB or something Russian? Did he know that?
You know, I always hesitate before. I don't want to pretend I can get inside his head, which is perhaps a very dark place to go. But you can tell he changed quite dramatically during this period in terms of the way he was presenting himself. And throughout the mid-80s, he'd been very much a playboy. He was very brash. He would call up the gossip columnists at the New York Post and Page Six. He'd pretend to be a guy named John Barron and say that Donald Trump was dating whomever, even though Trump was married at the time to Ivana. And suddenly he switched gears a lot and he started promoting himself as someone who could should be negotiating the SALT talks, the strategic arms limitation talks, that he said he was an expert in nuclear disarmament because his uncle John Trump was a physicist at MIT. And of course, he was nothing of the sort. He had no experience in this whatsoever. But it looks very much as though the Soviets seized upon this and started playing on it and saying, wow, you've got some very unorthodox ideas. We'd love to see more of this in the West. You should be aware that the United States is being ripped off by its allies. And that appears to have been what was going on at the time.
Puzzle also at this point, we're talking about Gorbachev is now the General Secretary of the Soviet Union. Beginning in 85, Gorbachev has ideas that are not confrontational. And you note that Donald Trump said he met with Gorbachev and talked with him. What do we know?
Well, Donald Trump did say that, but it was a lie. And in fact, it was printed in the New York Times. It was not attributed to anyone. It was just stated as a fact that they met with when Trump was in Moscow. But that was not true. It was later corrected. It probably came from Trump himself. And he did seem to be sort of obsessed with meeting Gorbachev. He wanted to very much. He found a Nobel Prize winning doctor named Bernard Laun, who had won the Nobel Peace Prize and had met Gorbachev. He shared it with a Soviet physicist. And they had met. So Donald Trump set up a private meeting with Bernard Laun and sort of interrogated, tried to get him everything he could about Gorbachev from him. And later there was people were starting to make fun of this. And someone sent a Gorbachev impersonator to Trump Tower, a guy who looked very much like Gorbachev, had the same sort of birthmark on his bald head. And Trump went down and met with him. He says later said he wasn't fooled by the guy, but it was clear he was sort of obsessed with Gorbachev. And perhaps the most revealing thing he said was, and he did this in a Playboy interview during this period, is that he said that he thought Gorbachev would be overthrown, that he had was too weak to keep power. And that was sort of striking because there were people in the KGB who were saying that privately back then. But it was not a widespread sentiment that was widely held.
I'm speaking to Craig Unger, the author. His new book is Den of Spies, about the October surprise episode of 1980, the Reagan-Carter presidential contest. We're now speaking of books that Craig has published over the years. American Compromise is one of them, about Donald Trump in his early days of conceiving himself as a presidential candidate. When we come back, we're going to go to Czechoslovakia, and we're going to deal with the files of the Czech secret police and Donald Trump.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.